Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Sasha Vezenkov, huh?
Is Sasha a ghost or a spirit?
He's about to be a ghost.
Man.
He's on Sacramento Kings.
Man. What's Luca? What's Luca to the Sacramento Kings? A
for
ghost
those who
or
didn't
spirit?
Catch it earlier when I called him Doris Barling. We all caught last night when Doris... That was uncalled for, Doris.
What did she say?
So, Luke, they were talking about how great Luca was, and JJ was talking about how great Luca was, and then Doris chimes in like, "Hey, who were the teams that passed the top two teams that passed on him again? Who was it, JJ? Who was it, Doris? That was completely uncalled for. Why?
It also wasn't two, was it?
Technically, it was like four because it was Phoenix, the Kings. The Memphis Grizzlies select Triple J.
Yeah. And then
I think Atlanta.
It was Atlanta.
Had four. They had the four pick, and then they traded with Dallas. And so Atlanta made the pick for Dallas, I think, kind of. I'm not exactly.
I think the Hawks might have the third pick, if I'm not mistaken. They had a trade.
And they traded.
Yeah. It was already
so Jaren was fourth?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I actually really like Jaren in that draft. Yeah, it was Phoenix, Sacramento, Atlanta was third. Jesse's right. Then Memphis, and then, So Luka,
that trade was already
so three teams passed on him.
Mm-hmm. Once you include, didn't have a shot.
Once you include Atlanta, three teams passed on him.
Yeah, but Doris, come on, Doris, we love you. That was uncalled for.
Also, no one asked. What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
Well, they're ghosts or spirits, and they're evil. So
ghosts probably defend better than Luca.
He's a ghost. look. So this was the thing, and people always
he's a ghost on the defensive end and a spirit on the offensive one.
some people looked at what I said yesterday about Luca on Twitter as hate, and because I said something to the effect of his 23. Points is fantastic, but he's playing some of the worst defense I've ever seen. I mean, literally, every single time he's guarding somebody, they blow by him. There's no resistance. There's not even like a hand check. Hell, get a foul or something like that for trying to reach in or something. There's nothing. They literally go by him like he's a chair. And it's awful. So I talked about that in the first half. And then here's the conundrum for Luka and what I wonder. I don't know if he can do both. I don't know if he can try on the defensive end and score at a high level. Because what happened in the second half, I'm giving him credit when I say this, is he stopped that. I don't know if he recognized it himself. Somebody talked to him. I highly doubt somebody talked to Luka like, yo, you got to play defense. I can't imagine that's how the dynamics go. But he offered more resistance in the second half on the defensive end and gave more of an effort. Mm-hmm. And it was noticeable. Like it helped Dallas when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But what did he have in the second half?
What's
up
the
until
thing?
Like the last minute? He had like 7 points.
He was 9 of 13 in the first half, 3 of 8 in the second half, and only had 3 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think he can't.
Is that so? What is that? Is that Boston? Or
well,
is
Boston
that
is making a decision to not let him off the hook on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying you are going to be in all this action. And anytime, particularly Brown and Tatum, have him on a switch, they do not pull up for a jump shot. They say, nope, we're going to go right around you, get to the bucket, create kick out opportunities, or finish at the hoop. They see him in transition. We ain't bailing you out. We are going to attack, and they're eating right now off of it. And like I said, I don't know if Luka, I don't know if it's his conditioning or what, but I don't know if he can do both. If he
that's a lot to ask, conditioning or otherwise. Like, Luka's conditioning is always going to be criticized, but that's a lot. Like, hey, be the main offensive load, and no, we're going to wear your ass out over here.
Well, yeah, I think the Celtics' game plan and all this is just like, we're not going to double him or anything. Like, he'll do his work on offensively, but you're going to have to play both sides of the ball.
That's why I feel like they're trying to make – they're not giving Kyrie a chance to do – like, if Luka's going to go for 30 or whatever, yo, we're going to do our best, but he's not. We are not letting Kyrie – because Kyrie can get going, and then all of a sudden – a little bit more, and this isn't meant to be a shot, but a little bit more than Luka. I feel like when Kyrie gets going, that's where the PJs, Washington, start getting going, and the other guys. It feels like there's a little more, and again, I don't mean this as a shot, but it feels like there's a little more life in the offense when it's Kyrie, you know, having those moments versus Luka having those
moments.
It's
accurate, though. Like, it's not, I don't feel like a shot, but it's just accurate. It's what it is. The team has a little more life when Kyrie is going, because not only is his offense clicking, but it opens up so much for everyone else. The Celtics, to both of your guys' points, the Celtics' plan on defense is how their plan for defending Luka is how they treat him on their offense. That's how they're defending Luka. And like, we ain't going to send no doubles or nothing else like that. Like Jesse said, we're just going to make sure you work on the other side of the floor. Can't hide from us. And so far, it's worked. Nothing has changed about how I feel about this series. I think it's over. I thought it was over on Friday. But what I wanted to see from Dallas yesterday was they didn't have to win the game, but they had to show that they could win a game. And I came away saying, I think they could get one of these two in Dallas. I think they can win. I don't know if they can win in Boston at all, but maybe they could get one of these two in Dallas. But that would lend to being a 5-game series.
If they don't get game 3, I think it's over in 4.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to think. I feel like they have competed. It just feels like Boston has another gear
that they don't. And Boston hasn't really.
And I'm not even talking about that aspect of it. I'm talking about within the game that's being played. I feel like they have the ability to hit another gear that Dallas just doesn't. And it's not, again, it's not Dallas. I don't think anyone else has this gear. And Dallas, of all these different teams, like, yeah, that's. They just can't match up. And so, you know, I think close games are going to be tough for Dallas. Like, they're going to have to find a way, I think, to, if this is going to get to 5 or 6, they're going to have to find a way to, like, you know, they're going to have to get them. Like, it's going to have to be a hot shooting game. They're going, and this is where Jason Kidd's got to work. They've got to find a way to free up Kyrie. Now, that might not even be possible. But I just don't think you can survive even in these close games if it's just Luka.
See, that's the thing though. I'm not sure that Kyrie's gonna be able to show up this series. It's not just Kyrie just hasn't shown up in the finals. Like, Boston has been a problem. Like, they have the blueprint.
They're taking him away.
It's been a 2-year thing. Like, he's been struggling against them for the last 12 games or whatever. He hasn't won.
0-12 now.
Yeah, 0-12. I think he's got 8 of those games. He shot less than 40% now.
It's tough, and I also say, to me, it's not really a it's not a shot or hate at Dallas. Dallas is the 5th best team in the Western Conference record wise. Like, this wasn't, they've had a hell of a run and a hell of a season, and what they were able to do turning their season around. But this is nothing more than the clock struck at midnight on Cinderella. Like, they weren't the team. I don't think I'm with you. I don't think anybody was going to beat Boston, but this wasn't the team that was going to push them. Not Dallas. Not Dallas.
I don't think they're Cinderella. They earned their spot here.
Absolutely. They won the games or whatever the case may be, but...
this team is significantly better to me than the one that went to the conference finals a couple years ago.
To be determined for me.
Really? Yeah.
I gotta see.
I do not see these two teams as the same thing at all.
They have a lot of guys that, you know, I want to see what they do again. Like, I want
to
see.
Well, to me, that's no bearing on my opinion on them right now. What they do next year doesn't change how I feel about them right now. This team right now is better than that team was.
I don't know. I think Jalen Brunson was on that team. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is better than Derrick Jones. Kyrie Irving is better than anybody on that team as well. But I think Maxey was a better player. Was Porzingis on that team too? I think he was. I think Porzingis is better than Lively or Gafford. I think the teams are equal.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter because neither one of them is coming away with a championship.
No. One did get to the finals, though.
They did. Yeah, they did, and I thought they played well to get there. Like with this Dallas team, you see it. A lot of the things that Dallas has been able to do to get to this point, they can't do against Boston. Mm-hmm. And that's the tough part. Nothing. Just absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
We'll come back. James Hamm is going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about this Sasha Vezenkov thing with the Sacramento Kings, what that means for them moving forward. We'll bring him into some of these conversations we've had as well about Mike's approach last year. So a lot more ahead regarding the Kings. Couple more basketball notes, NBA notes too, as well as the W. Medina and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absurd how? Like, you watch Saw?
I've seen Saw, yeah.
Do you like it?
Well, I thought, well, so there's a point where the original, the first one, was very... Like there was a purpose to it, mm-hmm. And then like they did another one, and they're all right, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And then they just kept making them, and then it was like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And it just became. So I stopped. I think I stopped watching after the second one. Maybe the first one. There's like a plot. There's like a psychological like thriller aspect to it. Then it just got like goofy. Then it just got, you know, yeah, it just got a little over the top. Mm-hmm. I'll pass.
Yeah, I'll never know.
It's the equivalent to Fast and the Furious putting cars in space.
Pretty much the same.
That was crazy.
Pretty much the same thing. So you've never seen Saw at all?
Nah. Well, that is not going to be on the list.
It's a little extra. It's a little extra, but the first one made sense.
As the great Mac Dre, Thizzle Washington once said, not my job.
Did you
not
see?
Not my job.
Your boy, this is 100% your guy, Stephen A. Smith.
I like Stephen A.
Backlighting dark, and he's sitting on the edge of the table, and he's got this solo camera shot. He's serious. And he's like, Will Smith is, he needs to have a conversation with the black community. He needs to talk to black people about his behavior with Chris Rock and why he put his hands on that man in front of an international show. He needs to have that conversation with the black community before we go see his movies again. Meanwhile, This past weekend, $105 million was brought in for Bad Boys 4. So this shows you a couple of things. One, Stephen A's a jackass. I think I knew that already, but this confirmed it. Because this dude literally, he got the nerve to sit on the edge of the table and talk about what Will Smith needs to do with other black people. I'm sorry, sir. Why don't you come talk to black people about your overwhelming desire to defend Dana White's character? Donald Trump's boy, his right-hand man, I need you to tell us why you went on TV the very next day after a video emerged of him putting his hands on his wife, why you were so adamant about how you had to defend his character. Because you're the same dude who year after year after year talk slick about Colin Kaepernick. You're the same dude who year after year after year told the company line about athletes protesting, what they should be doing instead of taking a knee, how they should be getting their point across rather than doing this. You, I'm sorry, did you get an invitation for a black people meeting with Stephen A. Smith?
No, no.
Yeah, no, I don't think that meeting happened. But his punk ass has got the nerve to tell one of the biggest international stars in history he needs to meet with black people? Your boy is a clown. I'm all out on your boy. He's an absolute clown. Clown.
I saw.
He really plays the Mr. Black Guy role when it works for him. But when it's time to stand up and say something and do something against the likes of Dana White or Roger Goodell, he ain't got nothing to say. Bro, is this, what'd you say, as phony as a $3 bill? Not even a $2 bill, well, but a $3 bill. Yeah, but it's not. Phony as a $3 bill. That's your boy.
I mean, I like Stephen A. Smith, and yeah, I saw the tweet, and I just kept scrolling.
You see the way people reacted when Will Smith walked out of that theater? Did you see that tweet? Cool. Yeah. Really cool. Yeah, ain't nobody worried about no meeting.
I don't know where he got that
goofy one. Ass dude.
I'm not sure that nobody I know.
Be
talked
consistent.
About that.
That's all I'm asking. Long. Be consistent.
Stephen A. don't work me up.
When did you just throw that Stephen A. Impersonation on the back pocket?
That was good stuff. Though.
Yeah, see, serious Stephen A. Yeah. No, yeah, we're gonna use that. Yeah. Don't worry.
He's gonna have some opinions on some things.
Yeah. No, we got NBA Final 1320 show coming up. Like, we got guests. Yeah, we'll have Stephen A. there.
Maybe we get Stephen A. Macho Man, like he wants you, like he. When, that's what he does when he wants you to take him seriously. He starts talking low. That's when he's being the serious journalist.
He's dramatic.
But when he's an entertainer, he's gonna just yell at everybody. It was just last week that he made every black woman in the history of sports media famous, and this week Will Smith need to meet with black people. All right, bro.
It was Monica McNutt that went at him last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't been on that show since, too.
Nah, they sent her to Around the Horn. They put her on Around the Horn.
He had, they had Shanae and Andrea.
Yeah, Andrea Carter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on today. So, I don't know. They're taking Monica McNutt's place or not, but I don't know. Stephen A., he doesn't, and maybe this is...
He brought up Shanae Abumake's name as if she wasn't like an All-American at Stanford four times. Hey, bro, get out of here.
He's to the point for me where I either... enjoy what he's saying and like the entertainment of it, or it don't really bother me.
Well, good for you, because that's what he is he's an entertainer, and he should never ever be taken seriously in anything that he says. He says stuff for entertainment. It's just funny to me that he's willing to talk about what black people need to do when he wasn't willing to say a single bad word about that jack off that runs the UFC. And who was he showing to his seat a week ago?
Well, that wasn't a black issue. Dana White doing what he did.
No, what I'm saying is he's quick to call out Will Smith. He's quick to call out Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to call out Dana White.
No, I got you.
He wanted to defend Dana White's character.
That was
okay, bro.
That's still one of the most bizarre moments in TV history for me.
Him and Molly. Yeah.
That was wild. Like, it was like, that was so wild. You could not say nothing. Like, if that's how you, that's what you believe or what, you could not say nothing. You voluntarily went out of your way to speak the way you did on that. That was crazy. That was crazy.
And you know what repercussions he faced from ESPN for that?
Oh, none.
None. The same Dana White did.
None.
Absolutely. The same exact repercussions Dana White faced. Absolutely none. I really can't stand that. Like, he didn't. That bothered me. Maybe it's because I like Will Smith so much, but that bothered me.
Part into it. That he done. Yeah, he just don't bother me. The only person that really bothers me nowadays.
Podcast bothered me. Like the open of that podcast where he just named like Kimberly Martin. He named like 10 black women in sports media and basically took credit for all of them.
They didn't do that though. He didn't take credit for them in sports media. He talked about how they've been on his show.
Wasn't it framed as you know who they are because they're on my show?
I saw it maybe once or whatever. I didn't really see the whole clip or see the whole thing. But he said I remember him saying you didn't know who Monica McNutt was until she came on First Take and all this other stuff. So I think that was just I don't even know why he would say all that stuff. I know the conversation that was had that day. That's why he felt some type of way and had to say it. But like the way he frames this stuff, it's like, all right.
It's self-importance. That's okay. All it is. It's self-importance.
But the original point was he doesn't bother me. The only person that opens their mouth and really bothers me at this point is probably Ye. That's probably it. And I've actually kind of gotten to the point where I'm able to tune him out. So nobody really gets my blood boiling when they talk. That doesn't mean that there aren't jackasses. There's jackasses all over the place. But
nothing gets your blood boiling. You just move it like a... You move at the speed of a spirit.
There's things that piss me off.
Missed free throws
for sure. Yeah. Jeez,
thankfully we're never together when that happens.
Make your free throws.
They were talking.
Scooter says, except for people on Twitter, right? Can you not really? Like, I don't. If I respond, I respond. Then it doesn't really. It doesn't live past the response. I say what I say, and then I move on with whatever I'm doing at the time. So, no. Because when I deem you as a jackass, when I deem you as somebody that isn't a serious person, then that's just kind of where you live. So I try not to let people that I don't deem to be authentic or a serious person, I try not to let them affect my mood or anything like that. That's why I look at a guy like Skip. Like, Skip is who he is. He can't really say anything that bothers me.
You mentioned Andrea Carter and those ladies who were on First Take. I saw a clip emerge. I scrolled past. But they were talking about Caitlin Clark being left off the USA team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a opinion on that?
No, not really.
It's not nearly as big of a controversy as people want it to be.
Sal
asked right here.
Weekend on it.
Is it a big deal or no? It's not. It's not a big deal. I'm not even sure that she's not gonna make it. Like, there's two names that got my attention. Neither one of them are Diana Taurasi. One of them, I think you agree with, is Chelsea Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea Gray hasn't played yet. I have to assume USA has had a lengthy talk with the Aces about her return before the Olympics get here.
Yeah.
And they were satisfied with what they've heard.
I was watching that same game last night. I don't know why it didn't dawn on me or why it didn't connect. I didn't realize she was still out from the injury from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell was that? Did they ever really say what it was?
I don't remember what it was. Because I don't...
I thought it was the ankle, right?
Because we got... Yes, we got tipped off to Chelsea joining the Kings team, the broadcast team. And we kept it. We sat on it. And I remember when she got hurt, I was like, I wonder if she's not... talking to you privately. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's not going to do this because she's got a rehab. And I am wondering if that threw off the timeline of Chelsea ultimately joining the team. But, yeah, she's still...
That's crazy.
She's still trying to get right. And then the other one was, and again, I understand, but Brittany. Mm. I don't know that I would have... Like, Brittany just started playing. Mm-hmm. It does feel like she's kind of like a... If you think Diana Taurasi is a legacy ad, like Brittany is to a certain degree also. However, and you can, you know, disagree with this if you want. Like, if Brittany wants to play for USA, then I'll let Brittany play for USA. Mm-hmm. It really is kind of that simple.
Yeah. Simple as that. I agree with you on that. So Caitlin not getting there, like, aside from Diana, who is, as of right now, having a hell of a season, a much better season than I would have thought she had, shown that she can still play at a high level. And like you said, maybe you could say Brittany. I don't know. Mm. Is Brittany playing?
She just returned.
I can't remember seeing her.
Yeah, she just returned. Or debuted.
I don't know if right now, today, Caitlin is better than anybody else on that team. And that's... That doesn't mean that's where she's going to end up, or, you know, she doesn't have the potential or anything else like that. But you're making a team for right now. She, and you got 12 slots. She may be a top 15 player in the world or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. There's no shame in that. But she might not be at the level of those other players as of right now. The thing that I thought was kind of just wild, I really thought it was wild to have this take, and I get it. I understand. I guess I get it, even though I think it's wild. It's like the thought that, you know, Caitlin would bring so much notoriety to the game. I'm sorry. Is this the basketball tournament? Is this what? Like, this is not the Olympics. Am I mistaken?
Sorry. When was the last time USA didn't win a gold medal? Come on, man.
Well, look, even on top of that.
Don't do that.
Where are we playing? Where is this tournament being held?
Paris? The Olympics?
The Olympics. Does the Olympics need more, like, the Olympics is in danger. They need a spotlight shine on it. Let's get Caitlin Clark. It's the Olympics. And probably, if we're being honest, is this the most anticipated Olympics? Maybe the last handful? People have been talking about the Paris 2024 Olympics for a while, as far as basketball and just the pageantry of the Olympics in Paris. You hear all the time. Maybe Brazil was another one. Rio was another one where people are like, oh, no, I need to go to that.
Yeah, I heard that for different reasons. I heard that for a time.
Like, I need to hit that one.
No, well, that's not far off what they were saying.
But Paris has been that one for a minute since it was announced.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's a prestige to, like, it's Paris. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And also, the last one was kind of a cluster. It was the 2020 Olympics in 2021.
Yeah.
So there was that.
Look, Caitlin will be fun to watch, but it is the Olympics.
But I get the idea of the Clarkies tuning in for... You know, maybe they tune in for Caitlin and they don't tune in for
the Clarkies are a little annoying at this point. Like, if that's what's going on, the Clarkies.
That's how I felt about the Drakeys a couple months ago.
but at least it felt like the Drakeys had listened to hip hop before Drake. It almost feels like the Clarkies had never watched basketball until Caitlin Clark Steve.
Well, that's UC Steve. UC Steve has just declared he's the stupidest person in the chatty house. Brought to you by Matthew's Mattress. So congratulations to UC Steve. He gets the dummy award. Head into Matthew's Mattress and tell them you won the Dummy of the Day award and see if they might give you an extra pillow. Go check in with them. Let's get to these phone lines, man. Let's start with Buddha. He's been waiting patiently. 916-909-1320. Buddha, what up, baby?
Yo, family. What's up with y'all boys, man?
We good, man. What's going on with you, Buddha?
Man, everything good, bro. And just hop back in the lab. You know how it is.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, man. I'm looking at the finals, right? So both teams basically made a trade for two impact players, right? So I feel like you can't be scared to make a trade. So last week I called about Zach LaVine and Kuz, but I feel like I got a more reasonable trade that I want you guys to see what you guys think about. Okay. So the first one is Kuz for Kev, pick 13, and Davion.
Mm-hmm.
And also it was reports that Keldon Johnson, the Spurs were actually listening for offers on him now. So I'm saying what you guys think about Barnes and a future first for Keldon Johnson, because Keldon Johnson, he's a spot up, underrated scorer. And he's also an underrated defender. So I feel like he'd be an upgrade and Kuz would be an upgrade. What you guys think? You think we'd be contenders with that move?
Well, for the record, I like both of them.
Absolutely.
The Keldon thing, now, correct me if I'm wrong here. That was a report that Devin Vassell is not someone that San Antonio is interested in moving.
Which here on D'Lo and KC, we've been saying for months at this point. Like, in regards to like Malik and stuff like that.
Right.
They got Devin Vassell. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And the framing of it was like Devin Vassell and Wemby are the guys those are the two guys they want to build around. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was interpreted as, oh great, everybody else can be traded. And I don't know if that's, and maybe I misread it. That's not how I interpreted it. But I'll call. If I'm Monty McNair, I'll call.
Absolutely. I like Keldon Johnson, man. I think he's a good ball player. Not sure if on like a championship team or if you want to be a contending team or something like that, he's necessarily a starter. He might be like a sixth or seventh man. But I'm trying to work through it because I do feel like in certain respects, like he can be that type of guy. But if the Kings were able to swing a deal for him, not give up too much, absolutely it helps the squad. Absolutely.
I like the Keldon Johnson one a lot. Let's get Ramsey in here. 916.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
I haven't seen. I didn't look. Okay. I didn't look. I just saw his name. So
okay. All right.
Stanley Cup Finals Game 2 is tonight.
He's not doing that.
But I don't think he's going there. Not doing that. I think he's going back to Caitlin in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. What's up, Ramsey?
I got that.
That's not a win.
I texted in the group chat.
Your behavior is very you're on.
I didn't look.
You know what you are?
You're addicted to steroids. That's what you are.
This is essentially what you are. You're Donald Trump.
Oh, don't.
Let me.
You wanted to fight about the end. You want to fight now?
You have been convicted of a crime. But in the end, it doesn't matter. Like, we have determined you guilty in cheating the last Blake Griffin pocket watching segment.
And you are wrong.
But there's nothing we can do about it.
Then
so it's
how did I cheat?
You knew the answer.
So what?
Well, it showed up on your timeline, like because you damaged the integrity of the PWL.
How did I do that? How did I do that? I didn't ask for Blake Griffin to be a part of pocket watching.
Mm-hmm. Just happened to come across the timeline, huh?
Yeah, that everybody saw.
Not everybody. Let's get okay. What's up, Ramsey?
Yeah, quick thing before I get to the WNBA. The Lifetime Fitness is almost around the corner there from y'all on Secret Ravine and East Roseville Parkway, so it's not that far from the studio.
Yeah, I'm still not going, Ramsey.
We're also trying to keep our location secret. Now I am. Ramsey just said, hey, pull up on these guys. This is exactly where they're at.
But getting back to the U.S. Olympic team, I'm not even going, Caitlin. There's two names. One, I'm pleasantly surprised it's on the team. and one that's a glaring omission.
I know the omission. It's got to be Arike. That's his squad. Yeah, that's his girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how are you going to not have the second best scorer in the league going to the Olympics? And the pleasant surprise to me, honestly, was Kalia Copper. Mm. I didn't expect her to be on the. I didn't see that anywhere with her being on the Olympic team. But I'm pleasantly surprised that she is there.
I'm only chuckling not because of because you're right. She's a baller. Was she the one that had the press conference? Was Kalia Cooper the? No, she's on Phoenix now. Who was the girl in Chicago? Did you see who at the press conference? Who got mad
Who got mad after what?
After the game, the reporter asked like one of the regular sports questions, right?
Uh-huh.
He's like, what does the bench need to do for in the next game for you guys to be better?
And she goes,
what? You talking about the bench, right? And he goes, yeah. Like, what do they need to do the next game for you guys to like be in a better spot? And she goes, she's like acting kind of confused, like what? What? And then she had it. She said, "So you're talking about the bench, right,
bro? What?
No, listen. So she was acting confused. She's like, "You're talking about the bench, right?" He's like, "Yeah. What does the bench need to do better?" Okay. Well, what did they do the last game when we won? They scored. She's like, "All right, bet they scored. What did they do this game? Not much. All right. So what does the bench need to do next time?"
Oh my God.
She had it with the reporter, and she's like, they probably need to score. All right, there's your answer. Is that it? I'm out of here.
Jesus. How did I miss that press conference?
She was trying to figure this out.
I need to find out who that was.
When it registered, she was not there for whatever reason.
Now I'm just dying to know who that was. And if we can find it.
I don't think she curses. I think it's good.
When was the last time Chicago played?
I think it was from Saturday night, I believe. I saw it a lot yesterday.
Oh, they lost to the Dream. Yeah, they lost to the Dream.
she wasn't happy at all.
We will...
Ramsey has said something else.
Well, so he mentioned Arike. Mm-hmm. Arike, I'm not sure what her footing is in with USA basketball. USA is very they're very like of the belief this is prestigious, this is an honor, and if you don't do everything we ask, well then you just can't be a part of this. You know what else? And I was texting because, you know, Trista has passionate feelings about this stuff. Texting with Trista this morning, and you know what I realized as we were talking? No one has ever said a player from UConn has been snubbed from USA basketball. There's never been a player who went to that university where you said, man, I can't believe they got left off this team. This literally never happened.
Oh, man.
Ever. I'm going to find that clip. I absolutely have to see that press conference clip, and we'll come back. James Hamm will join us at the top of the hour. Stilo and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. That's a good one. Jesse just asked if Asia was Pat Mahomes. I don't hate it at all, because I was just talking about the run that she has. Oh, I shortchanged her a lot. This is like her seventh year. Wow, that's crazy to think about. She was at South Carolina that long ago. Man,
I would have thought it was about 5 years ago or so.
Yeah, Asia is cold as ice. Let's get Jeremy in here. 916-909-1320. Jeremy, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, it's been too long, man. I know you guys are still doing well, but real quick. So how popular do you guys think that the women's game is internationally? Obviously, the Olympics doesn't need any extra people to sell out the arenas. Do you think that the international fans want to see Caitlin Clark? And then you kind of hit it before you went to break. If she was a UConn girl, does she still get snubbed, or do you think she's on the team?
No, if you go to UConn, you don't get snubbed. Those are the rules. the international game, the women's international game is it's fire. It's always been above pace where it is here. Mm-hmm. It's always been well above pace where it is here. The difficult part with things like this is, I think it would have been it was going to be controversial whether she was on it or not. Mm. Like it would the reaction, you know, because if she makes it, you're going to focus on who didn't. Mm-hmm. And now you're trying to swap her out, whether it's for Diana or Brittany or Chelsea Gray or whoever. And that's tough. She would have been by far the youngest player on the team by like 4 years. I would have liked to seen her on it, to be honest with you. I would have liked to have seen her on it, but I don't know who to take off if for some reason Chelsea's not ready. And again, I don't think they named Chelsea Gray to this team without knowing full well not only will she be ready, but she'll be ready to play and contribute and help you win a gold medal. But I'd still keep like a little bit of an eye on that. But I would have liked to seen her on it, to be honest.
Yeah, I like this whole thing kind of caught me off guard, so to speak, because I didn't really think about her being on the team or not being on the team one way or another. Like if she would have been on the team, it would have been great. It would have been all good, man. She's exciting. She's skilled. It's all good. And she's not on the team. All right. Wasn't her time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think it was I didn't think it would create such a uproar that she's not on the team or potentially not on the team.
Really?
Yeah.
Given the way the first couple weeks of this WNBA season is going, everything she has done or hasn't done, this is what I was talking about during the commercial break. They want her to say something wrong so bad. Mm-hmm. They want her to like be angry or call out Angel or Kennedy she's got to go at someone, like someone. And she won't.
No.
Timmy 2000 says, Diana is 42. It's time to move on. Firmly disagree. Diana Taurasi has the opportunity to win her sixth gold medal. Give me that. Give me that 10 times out of 10, man. Mm. She is deserving. She's playing good ball right now as well.
That's the thing. That's the thing that kind of gets me is like she's hooping. Mm-hmm. She's hooping right now. And I was kind of all ready for, you know, her to look crazy and then like make this team and be like, nah, that's not fair. She, come on, man. She absolutely can be playing at that level.
I definitely thought she was going to look crazy this year. Mm. But the Phoenix is a lot better than I expected. Mm-hmm. A lot better than I expected. Who else?
Ebiz,
what up, boy?
Hey, what's up with it, y'all? What's up with it, man? It's been a while.
Good to hear from you, man. How you been, dog?
Man, I've been good, man. I'm up out of school right now. You know, I've been a substitute teacher, so, you know, I was doing my thing, man. So I'm out here on break, you know.
My man.
I could dig it. Best time of the year for teachers is, like, right about now. Summer break is here. Let's go.
Man, check this out, man. I'm a sub, so, you know, we work daily. I ain't no regular teacher. They get paid throughout the year.
I got
to get paid during the school year, but, you know, I'm about to do summer school. I'm a hood teacher, bro. They like me, but I be putting these kids up in check. I don't even care. All right, anyways, let me holler at you guys about summer real quick, all right? So, I'm sure you guys, I know you guys seen it, like, I just got on and I heard you guys talking about Caitlin a lot, and I just want to ask you guys something about her. I've been on Twitter lately, and I noticed a lot of people do have a problem with her about not being on the Olympic team, but they're making it racial. You know, a lot of people are making it racial. You already know what kind of people are making it racial. But I was wondering, like, have you guys been like seeing that? Because it's kind of trippy, man. Because it's like MAGA became, you know, casual fans like with basketball. So, you know, they saying you know, it's not just MAGA, but, you know, I just know it's a lot of them because they be putting, like, the little flags for no reason. But let me holler. Let me hear y'all about that, though.
Yeah, the racial component to Caitlin Clark was born more out of the NCAA championship with Angel Reese. The mean, nasty, hood black girl was teasing the poor little innocent white girl who just loves to play basketball. Caitlin didn't bite then. She didn't bite a month ago. She didn't bite a week ago. She didn't bite this weekend. She's not here for, like, any of that nonsense.
No.
But, yeah, it is. It's like OutKick needs content too. Yeah. So they're using, you know, Caitlin as their great white hope. And this is the weird thing about Caitlin. She's said absolutely nothing at all to fan these flames. Nothing. But to some people, she hasn't said enough to de-escalate it. Mm. And I feel like Caitlin's in a no-win situation. I have no issue with the way that she's handled this. Mm-hmm. She's handled it. It's basketball. She said this weekend, this is the most competitive team in the world. I've got to get better, and it gives me something to strive for. Like, she literally gives you all of the textbook Peyton Manning pro athlete answers. But, like, people want her to say something else. Like, stop picking on kids. They want her to be, like, some sort of white savior or something. It's like, man, she's doing fine. Like, she's doing exactly what you would want her to do. Mm-hmm. And the call for her to do more is so weird.
Everything about this Caitlin Clark thing is weird. A lot of the time, it's really bizarre. Much like you, she said everything I would, and I don't want to say the moment we were introduced to her, but the moment it became like a real national story 2 years ago or whatever. It's been consistent with how I feel about her and how I look at her. She's a hooper. She's a basketball player, and she understands the dynamics of being out there on that court. And a lot of the times that's where her responses kind of come from, like that of a hooper. The first time I heard her kind of get away from that and have like a little bit of a victim mentality, which I didn't hold against her. I just thought the answer was a little bit like victim mentality was after the Kennedy Carter situation. And that it was that game, the press conference to that game. And she was just like, I don't know. I can't retaliate because if I retaliate, like that's the first time I heard her feel like or say as if she was being picked on or something like that. And I was like, that's a little different from Caitlin. But then the other day she speaks, and that's more so what I know Caitlin to be. Caitlin's just like, it's whatever. Like to a certain degree, I feel like Caitlin is like kind of tired of all. Like would wish. This aspect of it all would just go away. If they're going to play tough against me and it's going to be physical, like just let it be that so I can get past it and then be like just a regular basketball player to everybody else. Let's not keep bringing this up as to something different than anybody else is going through. So like you said, a lot of people want Caitlin to say things that, number one, she doesn't believe and she doesn't – that's not her style. Like she's a hooper. I think she understands all of this, and she's doing her best to be the best ball player she can be, and like push through all this.
Yeah, and Caitlin or not, let's just talk about what really needs to talk about, and that is Asia Wilson leading this country to where it needs to go. Like, because Asia's the one. I just looked up that, you know, Diana got one MVP.
That's kind of crazy. That's on par with Kobe.
Diana
That's
got and Asia's got she's got two already.
Mm. Asia's the truth. The Ace is sneaky 5-4 though.
Yeah, they look well. Chelsea's out.
Mm-hmm.
They do look. They legit look bored. Like, seriously, like, they're better than the Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sparks, yeah, they executed down the stretch, and Aces. Also, not even in the slightest worried about the Aces. But I look over at the way the Liberty is playing. I look over at the way the Sun are playing, yeah. And it's like, man, those are two squads right there. Mm.
The beast of the East. They're ready to have another showdown.
And then there's Minnesota.
Oh man,
Minnesota just lingering around all this. Like no. Get your stuff off. Don't worry about us. We got one of the top scorers in the entire league on our squad. But y'all go ahead.
Did you see? I found a clip. I sent you the clip.
Oh no, I didn't. I didn't know.
On Twitter. The other thing, but while you
spent the whole commercial break scrolling for it.
Oh, you pull that up. Don't quote me on this. And look, I'll say it now because
you tagged me in it.
Yeah, I tagged you in it. I'll say it now because I don't want nobody, you know, talking crazy about me. Don't quote me on this. Do you know who makes the most, who has the highest contract in the WNBA?
Who has the highest contract in the WNBA?
Currently.
No.
Jesse, you know?
Breonna Stewart.
No, she, I'm going to go against Brianna, she signed like a 1-year deal, I think, or 2 years with New York. I'm going to go no.
Anybody in the chat want to guess where I said? Oh, shout out John Poles. Shout out John Poles. Jackie Young.
What's the amount?
I don't know. My son's.
Man. All right.
That was riveting.
Wow. Questions. I swear to God.
I didn't ask any further questions. Somebody, Reese asked me the other day, he's like, who makes the most money in the WNBA? And I was like, you know what? That's a good question. I don't know.
We got on this day.
And as I thought about it, he said, I'm not wasting any time, and just Googled it.
Reese is smart.
And on this day for what?
Wrestling. We were talking about it last week.
On this day for wrestling, June 10th. I can't ask the year. That might give me the year.
Let me do math. I think it's 96. 96 or early 90s. Yeah, it's 96, I think, or 97, one of those years.
June 10th, 96 or 97. I don't think I know. Maybe it's not Austin King of the Ring 96. Maybe Hunter King of the Ring. I don't know.
Kevin Nash showed up at WCW for the first time.
Look at the adjective. Play. We ain't here to play.
That's a good call, Pat.
All right, buddy. Jackie Young earns $252,000. Signed a 2-year, roughly $500,000 contract. That's about what we signed James for when he joined us here.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.